We turn now in the scriptures to Jeremiah chapter 40. Jeremiah 40, you remember last Lord's Day we heard from chapter 39 that Jerusalem had been captured by the Babylonians and the exiles taken back to Babylon. And here is, in this chapter, what happens as a direct result of that in Jerusalem, and particularly around Judah. Jeremiah chapter 40, read the whole chapter. These are the words of the living and true God, so give your full attention to them. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had released him from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. Now the captain of the bodyguard had taken Jeremiah and said to him, "The Lord your God promised this calamity against this place, and the Lord has brought it on and done just as he promised. Because you people sinned against the Lord and did not listen to his voice, therefore this thing has happened to you. But now behold, I am freeing you today from the chains which are on your hands. If you would prefer to come with me to Babylon, come along, and I will look after you. But if you would prefer not to come with me to Babylon, never mind. Look, the whole land is before you. Go wherever it seems good and right for you to go." As Jeremiah was still not going back, he said, that is the bodyguard, "Go on back then to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or else go anywhere it seems right for you to go." So the captain of the bodyguard gave him a ration and a gift and let him go. And Jeremiah went to Mizpah of Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and stayed with him among the people who were left in the land. Now all the commanders of the forces that were in the field, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah the son of Ahikam over the land, and that he had put him in charge of the men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land who had not been exiled to Babylon. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, along with Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan the sons of Kareah, and Sariah, the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi, the Netuphathite, and Jazaniah, the son of Maacathite, both they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore to them and to their men, saying, "Do not be afraid of serving the Chaldeans. Stay in the land and serve the king of Babylon, that it may go well with you. Now as for me, behold, I am going to stay at Mizpah to stand for you before the Chaldeans who come to us. But as for you, gather in wine and summer fruit and oil and put them in your storage vessels and live in your cities that you have taken over. Likewise also all the Jews who were in Moab and among the sons of Ammon and in Edom and who were in all the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant for Judah and that he had appointed over then Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. And all the Jews returned from all the places to which they had been driven away and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and gathered in wine and summer fruit in great abundance. Now Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were in the field came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, "Are you well aware that Baalis, the king of the sons of Ammon, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to take your life?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, did not believe them. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, "Let me go and kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and now a man will know. Why should he take your life so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant of Judah would perish?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, "Do not do this thing, for you are telling a lie about Ishmael." And that is the word of the Lord. And so Judah and Jerusalem, for the most part, have been carried off to Babylon in exile. But we remember those who were allowed to remain behind, those who were the poor, the poorest of Judah and Jerusalem. This chapter and a few after it gives us a glimpse into what happened to those people who were left behind in Judah. And first we see in the first six verses Jeremiah where he settles in Gedaliah, and then the rest of the chapter centers around Gedaliah himself. He is blessed, Jeremiah is, by Yahweh for remaining faithful to his call as a prophet. In all his prophesying, he endured great persecution, but he kept on prophesying the bad news to those who remained in their sins and not repenting. And he also preached good news if they would only repent, and yet they did not. And then through verse 12, we see that a man, that Gedaliah, was made governor of the particular region in Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. They were given the great privilege of working here. You see that? Those who were poor, we assume those who were not working before this, and so they were poor, God has provided work for them in the vineyards and among the, I assume, the olive trees. It talks about oil here, olive oil in that region. But he's provided work for them. He's provided sustenance for them. Homes and the ability to live. And so what physical blessing the Lord gave to these people, called the remnant here, not the remnant who had come out of the exile, but the remnant, those who remained in the land. Now notice this is not also the health and wealth gospel stuff. It doesn't talk about they had faith or they grew in their faith and therefore God blessed them with these physical things. It doesn't say that at all. There's no mention of faith here. It just says that God blessed them because he is a God who is presumably faithful to his promises, and he is. And the remaining verses, the revealing of a plot of Ishmael to take the life of the governor so that all the Jews in that area would be scattered. But Gedaliah does not believe this revelation. He says it's a lie. The very last verse. The next chapter we'll see that it will cost him his life. Beloved, the Lord provides for his people. And in his providence, he comes about, that comes about in the best way for the good of his people always, even though it might not always seem to be the best way to us. And that is something for us to remember for the future or for the present if we're going through difficult things. And so we ought to praise our God who does all things well, even in the exiling of his people and even in the providing of the poor here in chapter 40. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you're a God who did not send Jeremiah into the exile, but you blessed him because he remained faithful to you, because you worked through him and by your Holy Spirit upheld him. Just as today you uphold us by your Spirit, we know that you will bless us as well. Not because, of course, what we've done, but because what your Son has done for us on the cross and his life and death and the resurrection. Now, even as he pleads for us before you, the Father in heaven. We thank you that you are the God who provides of your people for the poor and those who are in need. You always provide exactly what we need at every step of our lives. We can attest to this fact because we are all still here. And you have always provided for us by some means. Not always the best means in our view. Not always having to go through the best circumstances, but sometimes even through very difficult circumstances to try us and to grow us in our faith to you. And Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise, for you are the God who sustains us and provides for us. You are our King, and so you provide for us and protect us as you protected Jeremiah. Father, we remember the many prophecies that Jeremiah has, we have read in this book, and that Israel received and yet did not receive it. They heard it in their ears, but it did not enter into their hearts. And Father, we ask that we would be a repenting people of our sins, and that we would hear your voice and be blessed eternally. And Father, we praise you now. We thank you for your Son. When we come to worship you, we ask that you would strengthen us by your Spirit to continue. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough energy. We don't have the proper eyesight. We don't have good enough ears to hear. You speak to us, and yet you, by your Spirit, supply every need. Even our hearts to continue to pump blood, that we would stay alive to hear. And cause our lungs to breathe, that we can hear you speak to us. And so, Father, speak. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.